Well, praise God. Did you enjoy the worship? Let's give the Lord a big hand, please. Amen. Amen. Bless God. All right, just before you sit down, Jesus called us to be fishers of men. Amen. How many people do you know that are not saved? Plenty. And if you don't, even if you don't know them, you know of them. There are a lot of people in this world that are not saved. You and I, we are fishers of men. It is our responsibility to make a difference in this world. It is not God's heart that any should perish, but that all should have eternal life. We play a role in that. I understand that you are probably not an evangelist. Not everybody is called to be an evangelist. Some are priests, some are prophets, some are evangelists, some are pastors, etc., etc. But the fact of the matter is we can all make a difference if we are willing to trust God. According to your faith, it shall be given unto you. You know a lot of people that are not saved, whether you like it or not, you are called to be a fisher of men. If you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are also a fisher. Yes, ma'am, even you that hates it when your husband goes fishing, you are actually a fisher. But you need to fish a little bit differently. The fish that you need to go after don't like, actually some of them do like pop. Let me rephrase that. They don't like the normal things that fish eat. Therefore, we're not going to catch them with a hook and a sinker. We're going to catch them with a net. Amen? In your hand, put your right hand up. If you are a fisher of men, God has equipped you with everything that you need to be an excellent fisherman. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to be brilliant at this. Well, bless God for that. Even if it's the first time in your life that you're going to be brilliant at something, you will be brilliant. Now, I want you to wave this net around. Just wave it around with me. Come on, you have to participate now. We're doing this in faith. Wave it around and say, devil, start panicking. Because this net is going out. There are lost people out there that won't be lost much longer. Now, I want you to say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, by faith, I cast out this net. Now just give it some time. If you know specific people that are not saved, I want you to name them right now. If they're standing next to you, bless God, then they know that you're praying for them. Come on. Name the names. Name the names. You just name them. Mother-in-law. Yeah, there we go. Father-in-law. Noisy neighbor. Grumpy teacher. Name the names. Name the names. Right, now begin to pull in that net. Begin to pull it in. Begin to pull it in. Begin to pull it in. As you pull it in, I'm going to pray with you. Father God, I bring before you every name, every person. Lord, whether they spoke the word or whether they just in their heart, they spoke to you about this person. Today, by faith in Jesus' name, we lay claim to that life. We lay claim to that soul. Lord, we are trusting you for revival, and revival means people turn back to God. People forget about all of their nonsense, and they drop their attitudes, and people turn back to God. Lord, we are trusting you that revival will sweep our nation. We are trusting you that the harvest that you told us is plentiful is going to begin to come in. Lord, we thank you that the devil will not keep them, but that he has lost his power over them. We claim them for the kingdom of God in Jesus' holy name. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise, please. Well, bless God for that. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Probably by now you figured out, I am not a pastor. No, I'm not a pastor. I'm happy not to be one. If I was called to be one, I would be happy to be one. I am an evangelist. My heart is for the lost. I love praying for lost people. I love it when people come into the kingdom of God. Bless God. Amen. Amen. All right. In the book of Luke chapter 12, I spoke to you about this last week. In the book of Luke chapter 12 verse 49, there is a very interesting scripture. I know the whole Bible is interesting, but for tonight, I just want to start off with this specific interesting scripture. Jesus speaks and he says this. He says, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. If you ask the average person, why did Jesus come to the earth? I guarantee you, the last thing that they will tell you is to bring fire to the earth. But in his own words, he says to us, I have come to bring fire to the earth. The closest some of you have ever got to fire was the last time your dad tanned your hide. Hello? Some serious heat was spreading there at the back. No, that's not the fire that Jesus came to bring. The Bible says Jesus came to bring fire to the earth. Did Jesus come to bring change? You know it. Jesus came to bring change. Fire is necessary for God's changes to come down. It is necessary for God's changes to be implemented. It is necessary, and that is why Jesus came to bring it. We cannot exist without this fire. You cannot make a change in somebody's life if you do not have this fire. This fire is necessary. Look at your neighbor and say, this fire is necessary. If you could sell asbestos underwear, you are going to make a killing. Because God is going to begin to pour out fire on this earth. Why? Because God knows what a lot of us don't. Without this fire, we are not going to experience what God has for us. We want to see the world change. The fire that Jesus came to bring is necessary. Now look at what he says. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. If Jesus has one wish today, he has already told us in Scripture what it is. He wishes that the whole world would be on fire. Not the fire of the enemy. You know, the enemy also has fire. We call it strange fire. The Bible speaks of strange fire. One night, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was about 4 weeks ago, I don't know who of you were young. The Lord gave me a word while a lot of people were under the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said to me that there are a lot of people that have been exposed to strange fire. Strange fire comes through witchcraft, it comes through sorcery, it comes through curses, it comes through Satanism, it comes through spiritism, communicating with the dead, and being interested in false religions, etc., etc. Who of you were here that night when the Lord gave me that word? When I commanded that thing to come out of the people, 90% of the people in this church started manifesting. If you weren't here, I understand that you don't want to believe me. But there's a lot of witnesses sitting here, and I'm sure everybody's eyes were very big when they saw that start happening. Strange fire is spreading the earth right now. That is not the heart of God. You can't buy a magazine without some idiot advertising, find your lost lover, enlarge certain parts of your body, blah, blah, etc., etc. I don't know what it's like here in Springs, but if you drive around in Joburg, at every stop street, there's some oak pushing this flyer in there. And when you take the flyer, it's a witch doctor advertising his rubbish. Strange fire is busy spreading. But strange fire has nothing compared to the fire of the Holy Spirit of God. Where strange fire will destroy somebody's life, the fire of God will restore. I don't know about you, but I don't need no strange fire in my life. I need the real deal. Listen to me carefully. Jesus, when he walked the earth, dealt with a lot of problems in people's lives. But let me tell you what, the world has gone backwards since he walked the earth. There is a lot more witchcraft right now. There is a lot more sorcery right now. There is a lot more rebellion right now. If you look at young people today, a lot of them have the spirit of rebellion. Have you noticed it? It's like when mom and dad speak, the eyes go like in all directions. The body gets like an all attitude. Hello? Some of them, they don't even have the attitude. They just want to tell mom and dad where to get off. We've seen it even at some of our meetings. Let me just say something quickly because it's necessary. If you are here tonight and you are a parent, please remember you are a parent and not your child's friend. Friends let friends do stupid things. Parents don't let children do stupid things. Friends party with friends. Parents don't party with their children. Parents lead by example. Amen. One of the reasons we've got such a lot of rebellion right now is because we are lacking in godly parents. Amen. We are lacking in godly parents. Now, the Bible also says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. How's that for scary? There's a lot of people that bring themselves under the curse of witchcraft. Not because they have gone to a witch doctor, not because they have gone to a fortune teller, or they've tried to summon the dead, or they sat in a pentagram and did stupid rhymes. But because of witchcraft. Because God sees rebellion and witchcraft as sisters. To Him they are exactly the same. Because what is witchcraft really? Witchcraft is turning your back on God and running after false gods. It is rejecting God. Who's God? God is in charge. The Bible says there is no authority that was not given by God. Your mommy and your daddy was given to you by God. The authority come directly from God. If you turn your back on them and you rebel against them, you are rebelling against God. Which is exactly what people do when they run after demons and witchcraft and sorcery. They are rebelling against God. Strange fire is spreading the earth. What is the antidote? You can watch Dr. Phil till you blue in the face. He's not going to come up with a good revelation that's going to suddenly tell you how to raise your children better. I'm not even going to mention Oprah because she's like fallen off the bandwagon completely. If you watch Jerry Springer, please come for prayer afterwards. All right, please. Let me lay hands on you. Maybe God's going to have mercy on you. What is the antidote? How do you get rid of strange fire? By confronting it with real fire. You remember when Moses was being prepared by God to go in God's authority and command Pharaoh to let the people go. God trained him up. And God equipped him with certain signs and wonders and miracles that were there to open Pharaoh and the Israelites' eyes to the fact that he was a man of God. Amen? Now he had the staff and he could use the staff in some interesting ways. The staff could begin to blossom. The staff could turn into a snake. Now listen to me carefully. When Moses went to confront Pharaoh, and he put the staff down, and the staff began to blossom, Pharaoh said, that's an interesting party trick. My sorcerers can do the same thing. Hello? Don't let nobody tell you the devil has no power, because they're talking rubbish. The devil has very real power. But what you need to be very aware of is that God's power easily surpasses anything the devil ever wishes he had. And so Pharaoh called Jannes and Jambres, his two main chochos, and he said to them, just show this man what you can do because he thinks he is powerful. They put their staffs down and their staffs turned into what? Snakes. I don't know about you, but that's pretty scary. And then Moses put his staff down, and what happened? It also turned into a serpent. But what was the difference between the serpents born out of strange fire and the serpent born out of the fire of God? There was a big difference in power. Because the serpent that came from the fire of God, demolished, defeated, annihilated, destroyed the serpents that came from strange fire. How do you deal with strange fire? You need to bring some real fire to the table. How do you deal with that which is working in your life right now because of strange fire? You better bring some real fire to the table. Jesus says, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Jesus was looking forward to the day that the fire of God, the true fire of God, would spread the earth from the east to the west, from the north to the south. So, does God think we are crazy praying for fire? No. He gets excited when we begin to pray for fire. Why? Because it's His Son's greatest wish. Probably the greatest wish is that all be saved. But some will never get saved until the fire of God falls. Why not? Because they are caught up in strange fire. A lot of people, let me give you an example. A lot of people sit in church, but they don't really know the Word of God. At some point in time, they've been to witch doctors, or they've been to fortune tellers, or they've been to a gypsy, or they've done stupid things. The Bible says if you do these things, it will bring a curse upon your life. Deuteronomy chapter 18 tells us clearly that we shouldn't consult the dead. We shouldn't make use of witchcraft. We shouldn't interpret omens. And a whole bunch of other things. Now people do these things and it brings a curse upon their life. What does a curse do? It brings separation between you and God. A curse pushes you away from God. God never removes Himself from you. You get pushed away from God by the rubbish that you bring into your life. Now these people, they've been involved in this stuff. They've looked at these things. They've worshipped the dead or done something stupid. Some people just went to a party and somebody said, let's communicate with some spirits. Somebody got a Ouija board for Christmas. How scary is that? Giving somebody the gift that destroys. Not a bargain, is it? And so now you sit there and you summon spirits and you communicate and you do all sorts of stuff like that. And wow, the glass moves or something spells out something and everybody's like, ooh, freak, freak, freak. You forget all about it. But you can't understand why you sit in church and it's like none of the messages ever speak to you. You sit there and you hear what everybody else hears. And a lot of people seem to be genuinely blessed by the message, but for some strange reason, it never really speaks to you. It never really makes sense to you. Can I tell you why? Because you played with strange fire. And how many of you know when you play with fire, you get burnt? I'll give you an example. I had a woman come to one of my meetings many years ago. And what I didn't know at the time was that she had dabbled in witchcraft and sorcery and all sorts of stuff before she started going to church. When she came for prayer, she gave me a long list of problems in her life, and I listened to this. I actually had to cut her short, you know, because I can't stand there for half an hour listening to all the problems that she's got. I've got other people to pray for. And I prayed for her at a different occasion. Here's what happens. I've got this whole list of things that's wrong with her. I speak to her about it. I begin to pray. As I begin to pray for her, a demon manifests. In fact, no, that's not the way it happened. As I begin to pray for her, I spoke to her about salvation. The reason I spoke to her about salvation was because I asked her some pertinent questions and she couldn't really answer me. What is salvation? How do you become a child of God? She couldn't answer me. I said to her, lady, if you can't answer me these questions, then you obviously don't understand the concept. So let me share with you the concept. I shared with her the whole concept of becoming born again, becoming a child of God, opening your heart, allowing Jesus to become your Lord and Savior, confessing your sin, etc., etc. And then I said to her, would you like to pray with me that Jesus becomes your Lord and Savior? She says, yes. I said, please pray with me. I begin to pray. couple of seconds into my prayer, she stops me and she says, I am confused. I say, what are you confused about? This is not difficult. This is a simple prayer. She says, I can't understand anything you say. I said, are you serious? She says, yeah. I said, when did you lose me? She says, when you started saying our Lord Jesus Christ. I said, all right, I rebuke this demon in this woman in the name of Jesus Christ. You just go to the pit of hell or something. You leave this woman alone. She needs to pray this prayer. I bind you, devil, in Jesus' name. We begin to pray. She prays a little bit. She says, I am confused. I said, okay, I rebuke the devil. We pray a bit. I am confused. How long do you think a simple sinner's prayer takes? 2 minutes? 2 minutes is long. You can do it in 30 seconds if you want to. Took me more than half an hour to get that woman to pray a sinner's prayer. Every time she began to pray, the prayer that would change her life, that would take her from darkness to light, the curse in her life reared up and said no. Why do you think the Bible says give the devil no place? God says give the devil no place because he knows if you give the devil place, you got problems. You got problems. After half an hour, the woman finally managed to pray the sinner's prayer with me. Things began to happen to her body. Things began to happen to her face. Demons started coming out of her. That long list that she brought me, within an hour, most of the symptoms on that list disappeared. Why? Because the real fire of God began to destroy the strange fire that she dabbled with before she came to know God. I prayed for a gentleman. Somebody asked me many years ago to go and pray for this guy. He suffered with asthma. He had had 2 or 3 very serious asthma attacks in that week. The doctors were very worried about him because his lungs were in a very bad state. He couldn't get, you know, with asthma, you can't take deep breaths. He couldn't get enough oxygen into his body. I go to pray with him, but now, as I'm sitting there, I'm feeling something here is not lekker. How many of you know that you can feel fire when it's burning? Even strange fire, you can feel, ooh, something here is not lekker. I began to speak to this guy. I said to him, listen, yes, sir, you know what? I am here to pray for you, and I do believe that God can heal you, but I have to say to you that I have a strong suspicion that you are under a curse. Now, there are many people that come from certain denominations that do not believe in curses, which makes it extremely difficult to pray for them to be set free from a curse because they don't believe it exists in the first place. So, therefore, they don't want you to pray for them. And this was one of these gentlemen. So, he says to me, you must be crazy. I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. Wada, wada, wada. I've been in the church for how many donkeys of years, blah, blah. I said, do you know the Bible well? Well, he does know the Bible to a certain extent. I said, well, who do you think God is speaking to when he says, be sober, be vigilant, your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking whom he may devour, whom you must resist standing firm in your faith? Who's God talking to? Be sober. Be vigilant. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Is the Bible written for the unbeliever or is the Word of God written for the believer? Look at your neighbor and say it's written for you. Ah. Now, for some strange reason, some churches believe that the devil can't touch you, that you become untouchable when you get saved. But I beg to differ because God speaks to the church when he says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. To make a long story short, I took him through the Bible and I showed him a couple of scriptures. I said to him, how do you feel now about this whole thing that this and that and whatnot? He says, well, look, I've never seen it that way before. You might be onto something there. I said, all right. I said to him, I want to ask you a couple of questions. The Bible says, give the devil no place. Let's see if you have given the devil place in your life. Have you ever been involved in Satanism? Ooh, no, he would never do anything like that. I say, well, bless God for that. Have you ever consulted the dead? The man started getting nervous. I said, why are you so nervous? He says, I might have done that. I said, okay, talk to me. What happened? Here's his story. Him and some friends, just after they wrote matric, they went down to the coast. They were having a party. You know, for some people that means lots of alcohol, lots of booze, etc., etc. I think in their case there was a couple of joints thrown into the mix as well. And he's always had this infatuation with Jimi Hendrix. And he always wished that one day he would meet Jimi Hendrix, but then Jimi Hendrix died. So while under the intoxication of dacha and alcohol, he gets the brilliant idea that why don't they just conjure up the spirit of Jimi Hendrix and have a lekker chat with him? And of course the two buddies, they are high as kites, so according to them that sounds like a bargain. It's a brilliant idea. Why didn't they think of it sooner? They didn't know much about these things, but they, one of them, the uncle or the auntie or the grandma or somebody had played Glossy Glossy before, so they understood the whole concept. They made a homemade version of a Ouija board. They sat and meditated and did all sorts of stupid things, and they called on the spirit of Jimi Hendrix to come. And the next moment, the glass began to move. Instant, everybody runs. Then it dawns on them, but that's exactly what they're trying to do now. Okay, so they come back. They begin to ask questions. The spirit tells them, he will communicate with them, but this is not the time. He will come 12 o'clock tonight. They must be ready. Then he will speak to them, and they must put the Ouija glass in front of a mirror because he will appear to them through the mirror. Very specific directions. Of course, now they have to celebrate because they've just communicated with Jimi Hendrix, yay for Stone. So they down a bottle of Jack Daniels. In fact, I don't think it was Jack Daniels because they were poor students, so it was probably just some very cheap brandewijn. Yeah. They got bombed, they got smashed, they got sloshed. To make a long story short, they all pass out. The celebration was too big. 12 o'clock comes, instead of sitting in front of the window, in front of the mirror, they're all snoring somewhere. The mirror explodes. They ran out of that house, they never went back. They came home. They forgot about it, they thought, it's just one of those things. Guess what? The devil doesn't forget. You called me, I'm here. You called me, I'm here. Strange fire was burning in their lives. Is it possible to have fire around you and not get burnt? No. Here's what started happening to him. He never put two and two together, but he wasn't born with asthma. There is no asthma in his family. He suddenly started developing asthma in his early 20s. Guess what? The fire that the devil started in him was bringing about this asthma. While I'm talking to him about this, this man starts looking decidedly ill. Guess what? While I'm talking to him, he gets a severe asthma attack. The demon doesn't like what I'm telling him. It's trying to take his life. I've got some good news for you. There is strange fire and there is real fire. Jesus said, I have come to bring fire on the earth. If Jesus has come to bring fire on the earth, then there is fire for you and fire for you and fire for you and fire for you. Why? Because Jesus has already come. That means the fire is here. A lot of people don't know about it, and some people couldn't care less. But every now and then a generation rises up that says, I want it. I don't know about you, but I want it. And so I laid my hands on the man and I started rebuking that spirit. The strange fire that had been burning in him for 20 something years was suddenly confronted with the same reality that Jannes and Jambres had that day when their serpents got swallowed by God's serpent. The fire of the devil may be powerful, but it is not all powerful. The fire of God is all powerful. You know what happened? The fire of God burnt that devil right out of that man. The next moment he jumped up and he vomited a whole bunch of stuff out. Like this huge bowl of phlegm. The moment it was out, he was healed. There was no trace of asthma in his body. He never had another attack. Well, not that I know of. I still had contact with him for a good 5 or 6 years after that. But you see, here's the thing. This man was sitting in church, believing everything was okay. But it wasn't. Because his life had been touched by strange fire. Why does God want fire to come on the earth? There are many reasons. One of the reasons is because light dispels darkness. Who's the prince of darkness? Whether you like it or not, Satan is the prince of darkness. And when he's got a power or a hold or a control in somebody's life, he brings darkness into their life. What is the antidote for darkness? Light. Where do we get light from? We get it from fire. Every time you walk outside and you look at the sun, you may see a light, but it's really a ball of fire. Amen? That ball of fire gives light and allows life to be sustained here on earth. Why do you think the Bible says our God is a consuming fire? Nobody can live without light. If that big light in the sky goes out, we're all going to die. And therefore, people who try and live without God are slowly busy dying, even though they don't realize it. Because just like your body needs the sun up there, so your spirit needs God's fire. Therefore, our God is a consuming fire. He knows we need him. But we don't just need the fire to bring light. We also need the fire to deal with one of the greatest consequences of the fall. When man fell into sin, what happened? Let me tell you what happened. You ask such interesting questions. I have to just respond. I'm being sarcastic. When God created the heavens and the earth, on the sixth day, God got a epiphany, a brainstorm, a good idea. Look at your neighbor and say, you were a good idea. Bless God for that. Because God decided to make man. How's that? God decided to make man and he said, let us make man in our image. And then he didn't just stop there. He said, let us give man dominion. I think the King James Version says dominion. Do you know what the word dominion means? The right to rule. The right to royal power. In other words, when man was created, man was put on this earth to be the representative of God and of God's power on earth. And then God said, let's give them authority over the birds in the air and everything in the air. The fish in the sea and everything in the sea. The animals of the fields. And then in the King James Version, it actually says something interesting. It says, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. When Satan came to introduce himself to Eve, what shape did he take? A serpent. Would you agree with me that a serpent is something that creepeth about on the earth? Yes. God's creative purpose for man was to rule, not just over the earth, but over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. Guess what that is? Satan and all his power. When God decided to create you and me, he put all authority in us to be able to put our foot on the head of the serpent. But something went wrong. Do you know what went wrong? Satan came with a clever ruse, a clever scheme. He goes up to Eve and he says to her, did God really say that you're not allowed to eat from any of the trees in this garden? You know God didn't say that, right? But God did in fact say, Adam, Eve, listen to me carefully. There's a tree right in the middle. It's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't go there. Whatever else you want to do, have carte blanche. Feel free. Do whatever you want to do. Leave the tree alone. The devil wants to talk about the tree, but he wants them to get there. You know, he always comes with like a roundabout way. So Eve says to him, no. God never said that. God simply said we mustn't eat from that tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The devil says to her, interesting. Do you realize the only reason God doesn't want you to eat from that tree is because God knows if you eat from that tree, you will become like God. Because you will know everything. It's been 6,000 years. Did you know the devil still hasn't changed his ways? How many other religions promises that you will become like God? Most of them. Find your inner God. Become ruler of your destiny. Blah, blah, blah. Nothing has changed. The devil's still busy doing the same thing. And guess what? We still fall for it all the time. When they did that, they rebelled against God. They were put on the earth to rule. They rebelled against God. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. The throne was empty. Guess who jumped on the throne? Satan. Satan jumped on the throne. Now, the prince of darkness is seated on the throne. The Bible says in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, if the gospel is hidden, it is hidden in those that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their eyes that they cannot see the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who hides the gospel from people? The God of this world. How did he become the God of this world? In the book of Genesis, when man sinned and lost man's authority. Now, the God of this world is very busy because he's the prince of darkness. He's very busy keeping the world in darkness. When you're in darkness, you make a lot of mistakes. Have you noticed that? Have you ever tried to do something in darkness? In darkness, you get hurt. In darkness, you make mistakes. In darkness, you end up destroying things that you probably didn't want to destroy. A lot of you, you've come home at night and you didn't want to switch on the lights, and so you're trying to shuffle your way through the house. There goes the light. There goes your wife's favorite vase. Why? Because of the absence of light. Now, the devil is very busy because have you noticed that the world out there is pretty much evil? The world out there is in darkness. Not just because they are removed from God, but also because they compound their problems by running after the promises of Satan. You will become like God. Use a bit of muti. Do a bit of this. Do a bit of that. Put a spell on this one. How many young girls? Let me share with you an interesting story about a young girl. They asked me to pray for her. She cannot sleep at night. She has nightmares. She has insomnia. She has all sorts of problems. All right? The Bible says, give the devil no place. I speak to her a bit about it, and I say to her, listen, yeah, I just want to quickly check whether you've given the devil some place. It turns out that she is a Wiccan. She makes use of magic. Here's what happens in her life. She felt rejected from a young age. She never felt that she belonged. She always felt like she was on the outside looking in. Everybody else belonged, but she didn't really belong. And inside of her, she started getting angry at this whole thing. She wanted to feel that she belongs, and it's her right to want to belong. But what she doesn't realize is it's the devil's lie making her feel that way. It's not that difficult for the devil to lie to us. You yourself, you've walked into a room. Somebody has a mean look on their face. Immediately this voice speaks to you and says, "Ooh, that one doesn't like you." The person's not even thinking of you. But the longer you look at the person, the more you convince yourself, "Yeah, these folks, they don't like me. Hell, and this is unfair. I haven't even done anything. It's not about you. Hello, the world doesn't revolve around you." But the devil wants you to think so. In any case, she always felt outside. Then another girl at school invited her to a coven. She went to this coven and they did certain rituals and she saw Satan's power manifest. She saw things, supernatural things happen to people at this coven meeting. She said to herself, "This is what I need. I need this. I need this power. Then I will feel better." Can the thief make you feel better? No, he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but he's a bloody good liar. And people fall for his lies all the time. So she was initiated into the coven, and because she was fueled by this anger inside, this rage, because people don't want to have things to do with her, because she's always on the outside, she worked extremely hard, and she started jumping up the ladder. Pretty soon, she was the coven leader. She started developing a reputation at school. If you want somebody to break up with somebody, you go see her. She does a spell. You take her some of their hair or one of their books. You scale their books. You take it to her. She does things over it. Pretty soon the relationship is over. She started with Wicca. She ended in Satanism. They tell you that Wicca is good. It's not. It's still lusting after the evil fire of the enemy. She started going to Satanism because she liked the power. And she liked the fact that people started looking at her like, "Ooh, you know, don't cross that one. She's powerful." She loved it when she walked down the corridors of the school and the kids coming from the front were, "Ooh, it's that one." And they would actually make way for her to come past because now suddenly she has a sense of belonging. But what she doesn't realize is she's simply belonging to the devil. The destroyer is involved in her life. Anyway, the devil gives you nothing for nothing. Guess why she couldn't sleep? Because the demons wouldn't let her. One of the reasons why the demons don't like them to sleep is because the more tired you become, the more powerful the demons in your life become. Because your flesh is tired all the time. It's like when your flesh is tired, it's easy for them to suppress your spirit as well. I spoke to her about these things. I spoke to her about the decisions that she made. It was difficult because she didn't want to listen. You must understand, she's full of devils. But when the fire of God comes into a room, it begins to change things. Light dispels darkness. Pretty soon, she started listening. And then she wasn't just listening, she was asking questions. Because you see, the devil had lied to her and told her there's no power in the kingdom of God. The only place you can get power is with me. Now that's a big fat lie, isn't it? There's plenty of power in the kingdom of God. A lot of young people today do exactly what this girl did. They run after false fire, strange fire, because they perceive that to be the only place that they can experience something supernatural. Listen to me. We serve a supernatural God. Amen? You just need to get to know Him, and you will realize it. To make a long story short, she began to see what she couldn't see before. Why was she beginning to see what she couldn't see before? Because the strange fire was being destroyed by the fire of God. She ended up praying the sinner's prayer with me. She ended up repenting of what she did. She renounced those demons. They came yelling and kicking and screaming out of her. Somebody say, praise God. Now for the shocker. She was in church every Sunday. Sy was in die dominee's katechese klas. Nobody knew that there was any of this happening in her life. Her parents didn't even know this. But when she changed, everybody saw the change. Because when she repented, she truly repented. What was it that brought her to the place of repentance? Just like Jannes and Jambres, whose serpent, however real, was no match for what God could do. So the strange fire that the devil had given her and brought into her life was no match for the real fire of God. Now you see, my friend, I don't know you. I don't know your life. I don't know what's been going on in your life. I don't know which church you come from, because I know that most of you here are from different churches. I don't know how you used to believe, but I need you to believe the word of God. There is a reason why Jesus said, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. The fire is necessary. Because even in the church, we are sitting with people that are in bondage. There are people in church whose lives are going nowhere. And you know what? They are frustrated and they begin to question and doubt. Even the sermons that make sense to them, they doubt. You know why? Because they never see a change. They never see things happen. They seem to be stuck in this weird plane of existence where they don't go forward. In fact, if they have to be honest, they seem to be just going backwards. And some of them can sit here and say, I've been in the church for 20 years. Some can say, I've been here for 30 years. Doesn't matter. You know why? Just because you got saved doesn't mean you got the fire. Do you hear what I'm saying? Just because you got saved doesn't mean you got the fire. But you can have it. Hello? You can have it. Let me give you a different spin on this. Listen to this one. You all know the scripture. You know it off heart. In the book of John chapter 3 verse 16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Is it God's heart for everybody to have eternal life? Is it God's heart for anybody to perish? No. Now let's quickly analyze that scripture. For God so loved the world, all inclusive. That includes Africa, bless God, Asia, Taiwan, New Zealand. I know some of you don't like the fact that the New Zealanders are going to be in heaven one day, but just deal with it. Australia. Even Bryce Lawrence can get up there if he repents and sorts himself out. Amen. For God so loved the world, all inclusive, that whosoever, now that includes, bless God, me, Afrikaners, even Engelsmanne, bless God for that, Portuguese people, Spanish people, the Greeks, they welcome. Indians, they welcome. You name an ethnic group and they are welcome up there. Because what God did, his promise is for all. It's not just for a selected group. You know, some churches, they act very secluded and very selective. Rubbish. The promise is for everybody. Hello? There shouldn't be any cliques in the church because nobody's better than nobody. Amen. Look at your buddy and say, you know better than me. And I'm no better than you. Amen. There's a couple of Baptists here smiling right now. Bless God for that. I'm only joking, man. Don't be so serious. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Now, did Jesus come? Did he give his life? Did he offer a perfect sacrifice to God? Based on that scripture, could we now argue that because he's already come, because he's already done it, because God doesn't want anybody to perish, now everybody is saved? No. Because even though it's already done, even though it's God's heart, a lot of people have never taken what God has given and received it for themselves. You see, my friend, this is how these things work. Some people are going to hell because they don't take salvation and receive it. It's a gift from God. It's free. You don't have to earn it, but you have to take it. Some people don't take it. Now, in the same way, when we become saved, it is God's heart to equip us. Amen? Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait in the city until you have received power from on high." I'm almost finished. Don't be stressed. I'm finishing. This is me unwinding, coming down. I'm landing the craft now. Jesus said to the disciples, "Wait in the city until you have been," what? Did he say until you have been saved? No. He said, until you have received power from on high. Were they saved when Jesus said these words? Yeah. Let me tell you why I say that. If you go and read in the book of John chapter 20 and Luke chapter 24, you will find the disciples sitting in an upper room, stressed out of their minds because Jesus had died and they didn't know what to do with themselves. They were afraid and they were hiding from the Jews because the Jews wanted to crucify them as well. I don't blame them. Probably I would have hidden as well. And while they were sitting there, the Bible says suddenly Jesus stood in their midst. And he showed them his hands and he showed them his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you." And then he breathed on them. And he said to them, "Receive my spirit." What happened there? Romans 10 verse 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved." Let's repeat it. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. That was the first time they saw the resurrected Son of God. It was the first opportunity for them to either believe that he is risen or reject him. Nobody rejected him. So guess what? They all qualified for salvation. Because they had already confessed he was Lord many times. But they could never believe in his resurrection until that day. And when Jesus breathed on them and he said, "Receive my spirit," they got saved. Hello? Even though they were saved, just before he left, he said to them, "Wait in the city for power. Wait in the city for power." John the Baptist said, "Jesus, when he comes, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now you see, here's the thing. A lot of people, they've received the one thing, now they just, okay, let me just cruise through life. Everything's going to be perfect now. But there's more. You know, I'm sounding like one of those infomercials. But wait, there's more. There is more. There is power. Salvation doesn't set you free. When the power of God comes, you become free. Salvation doesn't show you God's plan for your life. The power begins to take you into your destiny. After they got saved, you can go and check this. I don't have time to show you all the stuff in the Bible, but go and check me. You're welcome. John chapter 21. They've just received the Holy Spirit. God has just, Jesus breathed on them. You know what the first thing is that that Peter says when they leave that place, let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. And that day they didn't catch anything. You remember? And then Jesus appeared and he said, no, put the net on the other side. And they caught so much fish that they couldn't put it in and they had to call all their buddies. But what were they before Jesus came into their lives? Fishermen. And then they meet Jesus. The blind eyes open, the deaf ears hear, the cripple walk, the mute speak. Demons come out of people. But they want to go back to where they were. Do you agree with me? Something is wrong with this picture. Why? Because they still have no vision. Why? Because they've got no power. Huh? They've got no power. They need fire. If fire begins to burn, yeah, behind you, it's going to push you in a direction, whether you want to go there or not. You sit here tonight and you say, but Rion, I don't know what God's plan is for me. Get some fire. It'll push you in the right direction. Amen? You get some fire, it's going to start changing where you're going. You want to go left and God doesn't want you to go left. The fire burns this side. Ooh, let me just rather go in that direction. Some people are walking around in circles because there's no fire directing their path. The fire does two things. It directs you and it shows you where to go. You don't have to live in darkness. All right, in any case, I was planning to have a short message tonight and I didn't. But I hope you learned something. Somebody say, bless God. Thank you. Now, last week I spoke to you about Jesus saying, I have come to bring fire on the earth. This week I planned on speaking about something different. And guess what? God said, you're not finished. Come back to that because there's something else I must share with them. Tonight I spoke to you about strange fire. I spoke to you about people sitting in the church, their lives still not going anywhere. I spoke to you about people sitting in the church still with problems, asking, but why? I don't know you, but you might be one of them. Jesus came to bring fire to the earth. You are walking on the earth today. You are included in His promise. The fire of God is available to every person walking on the earth right now that is willing to receive it. But just like salvation, you must come to a place that you are willing to receive it. Jesus said, I knock at the door. If you open, I will come in. The fire works the same way. It's there, but you must open the door and let it in. Hello? Some people sit in churches where there's no fire. In fact, there's no life. You won't get it there. But it's here tonight. You can make a plan and stay and receive it, and you will. Amen? If you put two sticks together and you just keep them there, nothing can't make nothing. No fire, no fire. But what if I have a fire burning here and I take a stick and I put it in the fire? Will it begin to burn? Right, there's fire here tonight. If you need it, you need to come forward just now. We will pray with you. And let me tell you something. You're going to start burning. And people will see the difference. People will see the change. Bless God.